A while ago, I officiated at a wedding, not in the church, it was in an outside venue. And after the ceremony, someone came up to me and said to me, really appreciated that, that was a good ceremony. I said, thank you. And then we started talking and he said, so is this your job? And I said, no, I'm actually a pastor. And he said, oh, he said, yeah, I believed in that kind of stuff too a while ago, but I'm kind of done with it. I think I've outgrown that. And I don't think there's a God who takes care of you and who listens and who hears. I think I'm on a different frequency right now. Now, hearing that, it's painful to hear that, and you immediately have this gut reaction and this knee-jerk reaction is like you. But sometimes the best way to react is not to react. So I won't tell you the rest of the story. What I'm going to say is, the sad thing about this is that this gentleman is not the only person that thinks that way. We actually live in a post-Christian world, my friends. And COVID has accelerated that immensely. And we're going to have to think about that and how we address that and how we become that light and life that the Lord wants us to be. But the reason I start like this, and we'll get to that, Jim and I, we'll talk to you about that at some stage too. We got lots of things going in our heads about how we do this. But the reason I start like this is, when you hear it from someone that you understand that lives in this post-Christian world, it hits you. But it hits you even harder when one of God's spiritual leaders says this and reacts this way. And you're all thinking, who's that? Well, hold on. I'm going to introduce you to him in a second. The spiritual leader that I'm talking about comes from way back when. In the Old Testament, we called them prophets. There was this man called Habakkuk. Habakkuk struggled with the same problem. He said, I'm looking for God, but somehow it seems that God is nowhere to be found. I'm trying to hear God, but I just don't hear God. And how do I trust God when I don't understand Him? And that's where we're going today. Trusting in God even when we don't understand Him. Because if I asked you to put up your hands today, if any of you have been there and done that and struggled with this, I think most of our hands would go up and say, I've had those times where I'm thinking, where are you? Are you hearing me? Are you there? Will you answer? Will you listen? And it seems that God is just not there. So before we read, let me give you just a wee bit of information, background about Habakkuk. He's a contemporary of Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Nahum. So you'll know these are the guys who kind of spoke at the last times of the kingdom called Judah. So remember, after Solomon, King Solomon, the kingdom of Israel broke up into two, right? There was Jeroboam and Rehoboam, and there became the northern kingdom with the 10 tribes with Samaria as their capital city, and then the two tribes called Judah with Jerusalem as their capital city. In 722 before Christ, the Assyrians came and they dispersed the northern kingdom and they disappeared. The southern kingdom, Judah, which we're talking about, they remained until 586, and then the Babylonians came, and they took them into exile for between 50 and 80 years. First group came back after 50 years. The latter group came back 80 years later. So this is who we're dealing with Judah, the two tribes. So the northern kingdom does not exist at this stage anymore. And to them, this is Habakkuk speaking to them. Right now, they are an ungodly people. Their king is King Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim's father was one of the most godly kings, King Josiah, the young king that was a little boy when he became king, and he loved God. But Jehoiakim, he just turned his back, and they were going through pagan rituals, and they were serving pagan gods, and they were just putting all of this stuff together and mixing it all up. The temple became nothing but a symbol, an idol for them. To crown all of this, the Babylonians are getting closer and closer and closer to the walls of Jerusalem. And it's just a question of time before this happens. And in all this, Habakkuk is saying, God, talk to me. God, give me a word for these people. God, I see all this stuff, but I don't know what to say. God is silent. Not a word. So he prays. But I think his prayer is a little more of a reproach than it is a prayer. So listen with me. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2 to 9. I'm going to do verse 2 and then we'll do 3 to 9. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Violence is everywhere. And I cry, but you do not come to save. It's like he's saying, where are you? Why are you not listening? Please talk to me. I'm asking. We've been there, right? Verse 3. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there's no justice in the courts. And the wicked far outnumber the righteous, so the justice has become perverted. It's like he's saying, I ask, but the only voices that I hear are these voices of violence and injustice, and I see the law that is paralyzed, and I hear people arguing, but the one voice that I want to hear, I just don't hear. I knock, but you don't open the door. I seek, but wherever I go, you're just not there. I don't get this. Please talk to me. And God is nowhere. How do you trust God when you don't understand him, says Habakkuk? I don't get it. You called me. I don't get it. Then God answers. But before we read the answer, it's not going to be the answer that we expect. It's not going to be how we want it to be. Because we expect the moment that we pray, I mean, that's the world we live in, right? It's like this, that God's going to answer. And the moment God answers is going to be exactly what I want. There will be light, and there will be hope, and all the doubt will be gone, and all will be hunky-dory and fine, and there we go again. I want to warn you, the answer that God gives is not necessarily the answer that Habakkuk was looking for, and maybe the answer that we always want when God answers. Verse 5. The Lord replied. God spoke up. All of a sudden, God who was gone and silent speaks. Look around at the nations. Look and be amazed. For I'm doing something in your own day. Something you wouldn't believe. Even if someone told you about it. I'm raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people, and they will march across the world and conquer other lands. They're notorious for their cruelty and do whatever they like. Their horses are swifter than cheetahs and fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their charioteers charge from far away, and like eagles they swoop down to devour their prey. On they come, all bent on violence, and their hordes advance like a desert wind, sweeping captives ahead of them like sand. And I can hear Habakkuk say, okay, that's not what I wanted to hear. I didn't want to hear you say the Babylonians are coming. I didn't want to hear you say it's going to get worse. That's not what I expected. Like it would be for us to say, Lord, it's been 3 years nearly of COVID, and we're sure it's going to be better next year. And God says, yeah, right. you ain't seen nothing yet. That's kind of what he's saying to Habakkuk. You ain't seen nothing yet. And it's hard to hear that, isn't it? Because we want him to say what we want to hear. We want to hear just the good things. And all is going to be fine. But that's the problem with Habakkuk. That's why people don't preach him. That's why people don't read these three little chapters in this book. Because the God of Habakkuk is a very honest God. And he tells us exactly what he needs to say. It doesn't always sound so good. It doesn't always feel the way that we want it to feel. But the God of Habakkuk is an honest God. And maybe that's the problem, right? Because I think, forgive me if it's just me, I think there are many folks who are secretly a little mad at God. Because God doesn't answer the way they wanted him to answer. God didn't do what they wanted him to do. So they're angry. The God that we'll see in a little while in Advent with Christmas trees and donkeys and cattle and shepherds might not be the God that we see in the winter of January, February of 2023. And we're saying, but how do I trust in God that I don't understand? What do I do? What do I do when you say something like this, and I don't want you to say that? I want you to say, Lord, butterflies, fairies, all good. God says, no, it's not how it is. So what does Habakkuk do? Habakkuk prays again. Chapter 1, verse 12. O Lord my God, my Holy One, you are eternal. So see how he starts. He knows who God is, and he puts that right out there. Surely you do not plan to wipe us out? O Lord, our rock, you've sent these Babylonians to correct us, to punish us for many sins. He says, I don't get this. Your frequency is usually the frequency of hope and light and freedom. Now you're talking about Babylonians. You're talking about punishment. You're talking about our sins. I don't understand this. Verse 13. But you're pure. You can't stand the sight of evil. Will you wink at their treachery? Should you be silent while the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? Who are you? Who are you? I don't know this God. I don't understand this God. Where do you come from? And then he does something really, really interesting. And this is the verse that is the foundation for the whole book of Habakkuk, to understand the book of Habakkuk. Because I know right now you're sitting there saying, holy mackerel, Aubrey, do you have something positive to say this morning? Can you just kind of get us somewhere else? Because this is really, hold on. Because there is, the question is, how do you trust a God that you don't understand? Habakkuk's going to get that answer, and he's going to give it right now. So God says, I'm silent. And then God gives an answer that he doesn't like. God gives an answer that doesn't fit well. What does Habakkuk do? Chapter 2, verse 1. I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. And there I will wait. Underline that word. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. When all seems wrong, when all seems lost, when all seems upside down, Habakkuk does not turn his back on God. Habakkuk does not run away like my friend at the beginning saying, I've outgrown that, I'm done, I don't. What does he do? He waits. But did you see the interesting of this text? And leave it there so they can see this. I will wait to see what the Lord says. Don't you see what someone does and hear what someone says? Did you see how interestingly he writes this? I will wait to see what he says, because he knows the words of the Lord are actually the deeds of the Lord. I will wait. Yes, Lord, I'm going to see the Babylonians. Yes, Lord, I'm going to see my struggles. Yes, Lord, I'm going to see my hurts. Yes, Lord, I'm going to see these moments that are way too hard for me that I don't understand. But this is it. I won't just see you in that. I'll see you in a million other places too. But the key for those of us who are going through struggles, for those of us who are struggling to hear God, for those of us who wonder where God is, the key is that word, wait. When you go through the deep, dark valleys, wait on the Lord. Dad, put that slide of the Hebrew up there for a second. I want to show you something that we miss in all of the translations, and that's why I put the Hebrew up there for you. And I know you can't read Hebrew. Amira will be able to read that and say if I'm wrong. The Hebrew is up there. So I put the words for you under each of the Hebrew words so that you can see what's actually written. So it says, on my watch I will stand, so that's watchtower, and I will set myself on my rampart, on that tower where I'm watching, and I will watch to see what he, God, will say to me. And now look at that last line. I will wait to see what God says to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. For the first time, you'll understand the verse. I was saying, you're gone, you're deaf, you don't answer, I don't like your answers. And now I'm going to stand and I'm going to wait. And God will answer. And I'll be quiet until I can answer when I am corrected. Because I just got it all wrong. Sometimes I think we have the wrong expectations of God and who God is. Sometimes I think we think God is our personal faith trainer, like we have a personal fitness trainer and a personal banker and a personal accountant that have to do everything for me. And I have this faith trainer, and when I do this, he has to jump up and he has to do whatever I want and give whatever I want and answer the way I want. Otherwise, I'm ticked off at him. Habakkuk says, you got it wrong. And I got it wrong, says Habakkuk. I will wait to see. And then I will answer when I am corrected. Maybe you should all take this verse and put it on your fridge, each one of us, and see that every day when we say, where are you? How do I trust you? I don't understand you. Wait. Wait on the Lord. So Habakkuk, the moment gets to this moment, the moment he comes to this realization, who am I? To question God, I will stand corrected. Listen what happens the moment he sees this. Chapter 3, verse 3, he says, remember, this is a guy who said, where are you? I don't know where you are. I can't see you. I can't find you. He says, I see God. He's moving across the deserts from Edom, the Holy One coming from Mount Paran. His brilliant splendor fills the heavens, and the earth is filled with his praise. Where are you? I can't find you. And all of a sudden, he finds God everywhere. And if you know the history, you'll understand what he's writing here. He says, you move across the deserts from Edom. Edom is on the east. That's where they came from when they crossed into the promised land. After 40 years in the desert, there was life, and we passed into the new world. The desert of Paran and the mountain of Paran is on the south, Kadesh Barnea, that area, where some of them went in, and they went into the promised land. He says, God just comes into every little nook and cranny. And then he says, look, the heavens are filled with your splendor. Look, the whole earth is filled with you. Boy, did I get it wrong. I said you were nowhere. And actually, God, you're everywhere. Yes, you allowed me to go through my struggles, but you were there. Yes, you allowed me to get angry at you, but you were there. Yes, you allowed me to be quiet with you and turn my back, but you were there. You never left me. If only I will wait, I will see the Lord. And again, if I said to many of you, put up your hands, those of you who have experienced this, where it felt like, where's God? And you were quiet and said, I'm going to wait. And the light of God came. How many of us have been there? I know, Lord, I've said it. And you were there all the time. If I'll only wait, I will see him. I will see him in the barrenness and the emptiness of the desert that feels too much. I will see him in the faces and the eyes of those hurting and broken that I am prepared to go give my life and love them and care for them. I will see him in the eyes and the hearts of my family. I will see him everywhere. I will wait to see what the Lord does. And then I will answer when I am corrected. And Habakkuk answers when God corrects him and hears his answer. Chapter 3, verse 17. God is nowhere. God is silent. I don't know who you are. I don't understand you. And God answers. And Habakkuk says, here's my corrected answer. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in the God of my salvation, for the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. Yes, there might be no grapes. There might be no olives. The fields might be empty. There might be no cattle in the barns, no sheep in the pens. This I know. The Lord, my God, is my strength. And when I walk in uncertain places, when I have to walk in unsure places, those of you who went to Israel with me, you remember those rams against the side of the mountain? They looked like they had one short leg and one long leg. Because they had to climb all over these rocks in the rock desert. You saw that. In unsure places where it is so easy to fall and slip and get hurt. You, Lord, you make me walk sure-footedly. It's not easy, but we're allowed to trust even when we don't understand. If only we'll wait. No grapes, no figs, no olives, no sheep, but God, who makes me like a deer, sure-footed, even in the most difficult times. Amen. Let's pray. It's hard, Lord. It's not easy to hear this word. Because some days that's just us. Some days that's just how it feels, and we can be honest with you. Some days it just feels like, Lord, you don't hear. You might be too busy. Maybe you've changed your IP address. Just feels like that some days, and we're honest when we say that. But thank you that in all honesty, we can also repeat those words. But I will wait to see what I will answer when I am corrected, because Lord, you do not slumber and you do not sleep. You do not let our foot slip. For you watch over us. You watch over our coming and your going. Every day, every moment. You are the shade at our right hand. So the sun will not harm us by day, nor the moon by night. Thank you that strength will come when we wait upon the Lord. And sometimes that's the hardest thing, because we so want it just to happen right now, Lord, and change it right now and make it right in our way. And if only we wait, because we've seen that when we wait, in the perfect moment, Lord, in the perfect moment, you are there. Never too late, never too early. And when we walk and it's unsure footing, thank you that you make our feet tread surely. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for walking with us through the struggles, through the questions, through the silence. We love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.